Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The signs of the times are plain and startling. Look into the papers that flood our world, filled with recitals of daily crimes committed not only in the lowly walks of life, but also among the higher class. Those who occupy positions of trust, who are placed as guardians of the people's interests, are untrue to their responsibility. There is embezzlement and fraud, public money is stolen, and not one tithe of these corrupt transactions come to the light of day. And we do not see to what extent the wickedness of the world exists. The youth of our time are receiving their education from the evil doings of these wicked, but honored men of the world. Theft, murder, adultery, corruption, every sin that has a name prevails to an awful extent. Does the wickedness of the world exist because men have kept the commandments of God? No. It is a result of the working of the enemy of God and man, who has had the world under his training for many ages. He has taught them to trample underfoot God's great moral standard, and lawlessness, corruption, and crime are the result. Jesus spoke to his people of Israel from the pillar of cloud and fire. He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." The voice that gave directions to the children of Israel from the pillar of cloud and fire has given lessons to his people of today. When he stood upon the earth clothed in the habiliments of humanity, he gave the same command. He said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." The instruction of Christ was not to be passed by indifferently, but transmitted from parents to children, from one generation to another. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of their house and on thy gates. Had fathers and mothers followed direction given by Christ, we would not read and hear of sins and crimes committed not only by adults, but even by youth and children. The evil condition of society exists because parents have disregarded this instruction and neglected to train and educate their children to respect and honor the holy commandments of God. Even religious teachers have failed to present the holy standard by which character is measured, because they have ceased to respect every one of the precepts that God has given, which are holy and just and good. Men have taken upon themselves the responsibility of erecting a standard in harmony with their own ideas, and the law of Jehovah has been dishonored. This is why there is so great and widespread iniquity. This is why our days are becoming like the days of Noah and Lot.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once and most, again, Heavenly Father, you've given us an opportunity to speak to your people today. We're most grateful and thankful, Heavenly Father, and in a way, humbly honored to be asked of you to share a message of hope to your people in Radio Land. Today, Father, as you speak to your people through us, we hope that whatever is said now will help us to fully understand that we are living in the time of the end, and it's time for us to search your word to make sure we're in the faith. When all is said done, Father, we pray we be a part of your kingdom, say it forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. We want to say welcome to our regular listening audience this afternoon, and a special welcome to any of you who have been listening to us for the first time. Once again, we are going to continue our study on the commandments, but more specifically, once again, I think this is the last day we will deal with the topic, Thou Shalt Not Commit Adultery. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. We have persons manning the phone right now. And if you want to write us, you could write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website, where we have articles written by Brother Paul Miller and by Brother Renwick Bowe, and also recordings of our past shows, and even some health tips and some connections to other websites that will benefit you spiritually. And that website is www.tpministries.org. Now, once again, TP Ministries for the month of November is having a special program. And you know our special programs are 2 hours. And this one will be 2 hours from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on November the 20th, 2006. And our topic will be Law and Grace. Our topic will be Law and Grace. Now, if you have any questions or comments that you want us to research before that night, please give us a call, 322-6273, or email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit our website where you could find the email addresses of Brother Paul, Brother Renwick, and myself, Brother Miller, Julian Miller, and that's at www.tpministries.org. Now, as part of our continuing effort to update the Bahamian public and those around of the challenges that Christians face in this world today, Brother Paul once again will give us a highlight of some of the headlines that were in the newspaper this week and show how they relate to the spiritual condition of the nation and our world.
Thank you much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. We are happy to be coming into your homes or your cars or your boat, wherever you are today. As a matter of fact, one of my church members told me that there's some brothers out on the high seas that were listening to our last call-in show, and they were paying close attention to some of the things that was being discussed and being asked by our callers. And if they are listening today, we'd like to say hello to those brothers who are there on the high seas trying to provide funds for them and themselves and for their families, and to any other fishermen who are out there on the high seas listening today through way of 50 and 40. Yes, we had a lot of things in the paper this week. One thing that stand out most in the papers this week was this thing about what one of our judges wrote in the paper about the government being in problems with the law that they themselves had written. And he was saying this law had been broken by the government. And the thing about it, they have another couple of years before they can do what is enacted in that law before what is enacted that can be taken place once again. And we had a lot of people on every side talking about this law that was made by man. But how about that law that was written by God over 6,000 years ago, and even long before that, these laws were written in the courts of heaven. They were kept in the courts of heaven because you remember when Moses was told to build a sanctuary on earth, the Lord showed him a pattern of what was in the heavenly sanctuary, and he said, this is the pattern you're going to use to build the earthly sanctuary. And a part of that sanctuary they had was known as the Ark of the Covenant. And what was kept inside that Ark of the Covenant are the Ten Commandment laws written by the finger of God on tables of stone, and also the ceremonial law that was written by Moses in a book that was placed on the outside of the Ark of that Covenant. And everyone was calling the talk shows and reading it right in the newspapers. The lawyers, the judges, the magistrate, even the attorney general is on the record saying that something here is not out of order. Everything is in order. Things can go on as business as usual. But once again, John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. What a good time for this to be talked about in the news, because even here on Turning Point for the past few weeks, we've been talking to the nation about the importance of God's moral Ten Commandment law that still is bound upon the hearts of all men, women, boys, and girls today, even as we speak. And it will be even unto eternity. Because you know Brother Renrick, who is now with us today, and one of the statements that he wanted to read to the nation today was coming from Revelation chapter 14, where the Bible says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have a right to the tree of life and enter into the gates, into the city. Verse 15, Brother Renrick said, if he was here today, would say, for without would be dogs and scoffers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers, what we are talking about today, and whosoever make it and love it alive. Well, there are some of our listeners out in Radio Land who are still abiding in this lie today, the lie called Sunday. You know, Sunday is a lie from the devil himself that was given to us, fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. That was given to us, fulfilling that prophecy, where the papacy system, the Roman Catholic Church system, said they are totally responsible for the Sunday worship. And all those who worship on Sunday are following their mark of authority. So today, people still love lies, ladies and gentlemen. And because of this, even some of their children are following the same lie. And the parents are going to be held accountable. You know, Brother Julian, whatever you read in this devotional talk is right on target, ladies and gentlemen. I wish each of you can get a copy of this, where it talks that the parents are totally responsible. Like we said last week, it has nothing to do with the government. The government is going to be judged all by themselves. And there's one area I left for the government in order to take note of, the area of rum. For the past 2 weeks, I've been writing in the paper, the liquor sellers and the lawmakers. And ladies and gentlemen, if there's one area that our government needs to look at, it's in the area of alcohol selling. And there are a lot of people sitting in prominent positions this time that take the name Christians while they sell this poisonous substance called alcohol and rum to their fellow men. They should be ashamed of themselves. But could it be they've gone too far? And that Holy Ghost that convicted them in their first start in this business has left them? I hope not. God forbid.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Once again, we're going to look at the topic, Thou Shall Not Commit Adultery. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a new look at this, Thou Shall Not Commit Adultery. But upon many occasions, you have spoken about adultery that does not involve sexual conduct. What type of adultery is this?
This is known, Brother Julian, as spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery is not something that is out like the sexual relationship with a man or a woman, or with a man going with a man, or a woman going with a woman, or going with an animal. That's sexual adultery. But spiritual adultery is something when you break any of the commandments of God, it will be spiritual adultery.
Is this spiritual adultery a common practice today?
Yes, it's widespread, Brother Julian. As a matter of fact, this is the reason why there's chaos all around the world today. All of our world leaders are trying to see what they can do in order to make this world better. But it's a spiritual problem, and if only our spiritual leaders, they're the gatekeepers. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks to the spiritual leaders very, very strong, and it just breaks my heart when I hear spiritual leaders condemning the governments of the world. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1, this command is given to the spiritual leaders, not to the government leaders. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob, and the whole world their sins. But no, the religious leaders like to jump on the bandwagon. Whenever the government does something that is breaking God's law, they will condemn the religious leaders, but not even condemning themselves. And God is not pleased with this. And this is also spiritual adultery on the part of the ministers and all those who are called at this time to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Brother Paul, are you telling the nation today that if you break any of the commandments of God, or if you're breaking any, that you are committing spiritual adultery?
Yes, you are. As a matter of fact, James put it this way in James chapter 2. He said, if you're guilty of breaking one of the commandments, you are guilty of breaking all. And we must remember that Jesus Christ himself states clearly that why should you transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? That's John chapter 15, verse number 3. Jesus is quite clear that you can break any of his commandments by falling to traditions of men. That's where the controversy is, ladies and gentlemen. The controversy is the commandments of God versus the commandments of men. The authority of God versus the authority of Satan. The two of us are being, the two of them want our allegiance. Which one will we obey? Will we obey the voice of God, or will we continue to obey the voice of Satan?
Brother Paul, what is the punishment for spiritual adultery? Is it the same as regular adultery, if there's such a thing?
Yes, Brother Joel, it's the same. There's going to be the same punishment. Because like I just read just now from one of the notes of Brother Renrick, and that's Revelation 22, verse 15. For without are dogs, and scoffers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So adultery or adulterers, not only those who go to the obey a person or to the witchcraft, but any sin that we partake in that is not rooted and grounded in God's word is idolatry. It's putting aside the will of God, taking on the will of Satan himself.
Now, the scripture tells us that Christ was tempted in all ways like we were. Was he also tempted to commit spiritual adultery?
Yes, he was. Christ was tempted to commit spiritual adultery. And when the Bible says Christ was tempted in all points like us, we are yet without sin. A lot of people might not be aware of that scripture. That's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. And it says, now, start from verse 14 and 1 through to verse 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So Christ also was tempted to commit adultery. He was also tempted to commit spiritual adultery and physical adultery, because the Bible is quite clear that he was tempted in all points like as we are.
So are you saying also that if men give their allegiance or show worship to other men and other things other than the true God, that they are in this topic which you like to talk about, spiritual adultery?
Yes, they are. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus tells us this way in Matthew chapter 15. He said, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's right, there are people today worshiping God. But according to Matthew 15 verse 9, they're worshiping God in vain, because they're taking the teachings and the doctrines, the commandments of men. If you get your paper last week, in the Tribune, the religious section, there's an article written here where Dr. Myers Munro had a leadership conference here in the Bahamas just last week. And the topic of the article in the Tribune said, the greatest challenge facing the world is the need of quality leadership. That's true. But the problem is, how would we know who is who? Are these leaders that say these things truly leaders of true leaders, quality leadership themselves? Or are they just talking for talking's sake? It's very important, you see, because in Isaiah chapter 9, the Bible says, beginning at verse 13, for the people turn not unto him, referring to God, or for referring to those that are wrong, that smite them. Those that smite them, they turn not unto them. Neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Verse 14 says, therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel the head and the tail, the branch and the rust in one day. Verse 15 says, and the ancient, that means the elderly leaders in the church, and the honorable, those who are held in high esteem, is the head. And the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. Verse 16 is the punchline, for the leaders of this people cause them to err, meaning because them to sin, and they that are led of them are destroyed. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that the leaders that we are following are those who are following the commandments of God all the way. Any leader that finds himself in a position of teaching all of God's Ten Commandments, who are teaching people to dishonor God's holy day Sabbath, fall in the same camp, like Dr. Monroe said, as rapists, incest brokers, abusers, and all the other lists of things that he mentioned in this article that was printed here by the Tribune. There's no sin greater than the other, ladies and gentlemen. All sins are in the same rank and file. Once you break one, James tells us, we are guilty of breaking all. That's James chapter 2. And Jesus tells us in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandment. But the problem is, we say we love God with our mouth, but we don't honor him with our hearts. And that's the problem.
But Paul, it has already been established that Jesus was tempted to commit spiritual adultery. Why didn't he go through?
Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 27, Jesus compared himself to husband loving their wives. Beginning of verse 23 of Ephesians chapter 5, he says, for husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Notice, not head of the churches, but head of the church, singular. And he is the savior of the body, singular again, not bodies, like all these different denominations we have. Therefore, as the church, singular, is subject unto Christ, so let wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your own wife, said the Apostle Paul, even as Christ also loved the church and gives himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spots, nor wrinkles, or any such thing, but that it should be holy, without blemish. Do you believe that? That Christ said, once we are washed by his blood, and once we are fallen the word, we can be holy, spotless, blameless, without wrinkles, meaning there'll be no fault. Just like there was no fault with him when he walked upon the earth, there'll be no fault with us. So Christ died for his church. And that means when he was tempted in Matthew chapter 4 to turn stones into bread, to bow down and worship Satan, if he had did any of these things, he would have divorced his church. And then Christ would have committed spiritual adultery with Satan himself.
Brother Paul, we find ourselves in this world today. How can we be like Christ and not fall into these traps that easily beset us now?
Jesus tells in John chapter 15, answer this question, Brother Julian. John chapter 15, verse 5 to 8, he says, I am the vine, says Jesus, referring to us, and we are the branches. If he or she that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing, said Jesus. If any man abide not in me, he is cast off as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, said Jesus, my word also abide in you, and ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, said Jesus, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciple. Now notice he didn't say fruits. Fruit. And you know the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We know them by heart. Notice, if you have one and you don't have the other, you don't have the fruit. They all come together, ladies. It's a package. Like some people tell you, if you have long suffering, you could just wait. No, it comes together. And that's why Christ said, you must abide in the vine. And once you abide in the vine, all of the elements of the fruit will be demonstrated in the person's life that is abiding in the vine. Because all of us agree that if you have an almond tree, it's going to bear only almonds. If you have a mango tree, it's going to bear only mangoes. Same thing with the sour tree, and the list goes on. It's the same thing with those who are abiding in the vine represented by Jesus Christ himself. All the branches will bear the fruit of that vine, which was demonstrated by our Savior Jesus Christ when he walked among men.
But Paul, you use the word abide. What does it mean for one to abide so that one does not fall into these traps?
To abide simply means, Brother Julian, it means that every day of our lives, we recommit our lives to Jesus Christ, that we surrender not our will, like Christ said, not my will, Heavenly Father, but let your will be done in my life. And when Christ prayed that prayer, then he died on the cross for our sins. Remember, Satan always tried to get Christ to follow his own will. And that's why for us to abide simply means, if you're going to be in Christ, then that means when people see you, they should not see you. They should actually be seeing Christ. At the same leadership summit, some people were given awards. Well, how can that be? How can you receive an award on earth when Christ himself never received an award? That's why Jesus Christ said, you and I must do the good works, that he must be glorified. It is him empowering us to do these good works. And then Christ said in his word, if you abide in me, he said, when I come, I'm going to give you a gift according to every man, according to his work should be. That's Revelation chapter 22. He said, behold, I come quickly, and I will give my reward to every man according to his work should be. But men are getting awards on this side of heaven, when the Bible is quite clear that if you receive a reward before your time, you will not see that just reward will be given to your Lord and given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So to abide simply means that not your will or not our will, but thy will, O Lord, be done in our lives.
So, Brother Paul, what happens to those persons who say that they are Christians, Holy Ghost filled, slain in the Spirit, and the other terms that we know, but still are not living up to all God's commandments, still committing adultery, still committing spiritual adultery? Is this possible?
No, it's not possible, Julian. Matter of fact, they are confused, because Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 6 when he walked among men. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 to 24, he said, whoever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, treasure could be anything. Junk canoe, movies, friends, money, philosophies, education, wherever your treasure, whatever, as a matter of fact, whatever you see people love to talk about the most, that's where their treasures are. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men. So the Bible is quite clear. Wherever your treasure is, there will your heart, or there will your mind be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body should be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, then thy whole body should be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkened, how great is the darkness? Then verse 24 says, for no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. For example, there's no way you say you can be in Christ and won't pay the government's taxes. There's no way you can say you are in Christ and you are cheating with your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband. There's no way you can be in Christ and won't keep the Holy Ghost 7-day Sabbath. That's what it means. No man can serve two masters. Sunday is either the master of the devil or it's the master of God. Same thing with the 7-day Sabbath. It's either the master of God or it's the master of Satan. It can't be the two, ladies and gentlemen. We must be one in the spirit, one in body, soul, and spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's very important. It's very important for us to always walk in the light as Jesus Christ himself is in the light.
Brother Paul, there may be persons who've been listening to our program for the first time or for many years. What would you say to them this afternoon if they find themselves committing spiritual adultery? What are you suggesting that they do this afternoon?
What they need to do, Brother Joe, first thing they need to realize that there is a problem. And once they recognize there is a problem, they need to go to the sovereign bearer and the sovereign fixer. And that person is Jesus Christ himself. Like I read earlier, we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings and infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. That's Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go boldly to him. Let's cry out to him. Say, Lord, I have a drinking problem. I need help. I have a sexual problem. Whatever the problem might be. And I assure you, he will give you the strength to abide in him. That's his responsibility. Our responsibility is recognizing we have a problem. That's why if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once Christ has cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness, all means all. Don't let the devil fool you. He will come at you with your past sins and tell you what you used to do, but you can let him know, I am happy you say I used to do it and not that I am doing it. Because Christ is faithful to forgive us. And he will forgive us because he has forgiven people in the past. You can think about some of his disciples. I think about Peter, who denied Christ, even after Christ warned him that he would forgive them. And the Lord forgave Peter. And one of the things he told Peter, and he told all the ministers of the gospel today, and even us as lay people, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And that's the problem. We have a bunch of unconverted ministers of the gospel who care nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because surely if they did, the lifestyle they live, with cars and expensive homes and expensive clothes and all these sorts of stuff, will not be a part of them. They would be humbly like their Savior Jesus Christ. When time he wanted to go for a ride, he had to borrow someone's donkey because he didn't have his own. But is this the type of example the ministers of the gospel are sharing today, brothers and sisters? No, they are not.
Brother Paul, there may be people who might have heard us and heard you, but are a little bit reluctant because they might lose family and friends and position. What would you want to say to them this afternoon?
What I have to say is, based on God's word, Jesus said, whoever loved father or mother or sister or whoever more than me is not worthy of me. Remember, Jesus died on the cross for you, as if you and I were the only person on planet Earth. The time has come for you to realize that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he said he was the one who led the, every man that cometh into the world. Every bread, loaf of bread we have is stamped with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The car we drive, the end, the tire, is stamped with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Everything we own is because of him. It's because of him, the Bible says, we live and move and have our beings. And the time of us comes about that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, when Christ judges us, we're going to be judged individually. We're not going to be judged in groups. Each one of us are going to stand before the Christ for ourselves. And when you stand before him, he's going to ask you, what did you do with the message? What did you do with my son? Did you not appreciate him dying on the cross for you? Did you not appreciate what John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world? That's everyone, ladies and gentlemen. That's no discrimination in that text. That's everyone. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The lame, and who all? All those Christ died for.
But Paul, this is our last day that we're going to be dealing with, committing adultery, and then we move on to the other commandments. What would you want to say to the Bahamian people today concerning this commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery?
One of the things I'd like to say to the people today, Brother Julian, is the time has come for us as parents to sit down with our children and open up the Word of God to them and let the Word of God speak to their tender heart. You know, our children are just about out of control. It's a fulfillment of what the Bible says. Again, I think that's 1 Timothy chapter 4, that in the last days, children will be disobedient to parents. But could it be the reason why they are disobedient to parents is because, like Brother Julian read his devotional taught, that the fathers and mothers have not given the directions given to them from God based on God's Word? And because of this, the crime and all these other things are escalating all around us. The whole world is crying out for help. Even this little old Bahamas. You know, it's only because of the Christians that are in the Bahamas, I believe the Bahamas is still in existence today. There's someone the Holy Ghost is pleading for today. There's someone who the Lord wants to say, give me my son, give me thine heart. And that someone today truly can be you. May God bless you as you continue to abide in his word.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to remind you that November the 20th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., live call-in show, Turning Point will be put on a live call-in show from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Law and Grace. Call us with your questions and comments as we explore this very important topic. Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for another opportunity and a privilege to come before your throne. We come before you, O God, asking you to forgive us for our sins and cleanse our hearts from all unrighteousness. Lord, as we speak and as the word go forth, we ask that your Holy Spirit go with it to convict the hearts of those who may hear our words, and let them know that no problem is too hard for God to solve. It's our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of Renick Bow and Paul Miller, until next week, may the peace of God be with your family, and may God's strength continue to abide with you. Our telephone contact is 322-6273. And don't forget to join us on November
20th.
The 20th, our live call-in show.
And this is Julian Miller. May the peace of God be with you and your family.